Happy Mom's Day, and I'd be remiss if I didn't, excuse me, stand up on a chair, look in the camera, sorry, and say hi, Mom, from YouTube. Love you. Happy Mother's Day. All right, I'm back. Hey, it's the first time we've ever had a camera on Mother's Day, so I'm going to do it. She still watches. She loves our church. Yeah, she gets saved every week. Just kidding. All right, so we were talking about, you know, people who are funny as they're teaching. Well, whatever. So we've been talking about how the Lord's voice is our choice in our life, right? And the ability to hear him truly is tied back to our desire to hear him. It's not so much that this lightning bolt comes out of heaven and there are special people who are gifted with superpowers and some of those people get to hear God and all the rest of us average people don't. It's that we, the believers, we live by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God, right? That's what Jesus modeled for us. He was God, but he became a man, and in his limited capacity, he modeled what it would be like for a believer to walk with the Lord, to hear his voice and to live in obedience to his word, right? Great. So that's why we have spent so much time talking about his voice over the last several months, because, you know, honestly, without that, it's kind of like there's a couple of things to your faith that you have to have solid, or else everything else you build on top of that is going to be flawed, right? And any builders here ever seen something built on a flawed foundation? Yeah, isn't it awesome? Right? And we don't want to live that way, right? And so some of the things that you just cannot afford to get wrong when it comes to your foundation is A, the love of God. If you do not understand that, everything else you build on top of it, although technically right and scripturally sound, will be flawed and jaded by the incorrect foundation of just anything other than his love, right? Okay, number two, you have to know and understand and live by his voice. You have to. Without it, there's no communication. Yes, we have our word, we have our scripture, but even then, reading it apart from his voice, it's just, you know, it's words, right? Yes? Ever had scripture come alive and speak directly to you, and it was like it went straight into your heart, and that's his voice. He carried it from page to heart. Right? And that's how we live. And so those kinds of concepts, you know, I almost feel like we can't hammer them enough. And so if you're sick of it, good. That means you're almost there. Right? We want to build on a firm foundation that his voice is the reason we get up out of bed, because he told us to, and then he tells us where to go next, and, right? And that's how you live, okay? And you're like, well, no, I get up because I have to go to work, or I get up because my children are, you know, need me or whatever. Yes to all of that, but it's living for the interruptions. Jesus, how do you want to use this moment? Jesus, how do you want to use this one, right? And we just let him take us through the moments. It's beautiful. It's a surrender, amen? And it's relationship. Yeah, amen. So we talked about how God communicates with us often in unfolding experiences of discovery. So, you know, at times we, being impatient, would love it if he would just speak like a New Englander and just give me the download, all right? Just tell it to me like it is. Save the details. Just go for it, Jesus, and I'll do it, okay? I got lots to do, right? We're busy people. And sometimes he doesn't just give it to us, because it's not about giving us the download and then saying, here's your assignment. You know, go. It's he really wants to unpack this thing and live it out with us. It's less about the doing, and it's more about the journey of discovery with him, right? Because again, it's relationship. You ever take a car ride to nowhere with your spouse? Right? My mother-in-law loves that. She loves car rides to nowhere, right? Because it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. Yes, and it's about building a relationship and being together, and it's almost like just taking in whatever comes your way, and now it's a new topic for discussion, and just, you know, and that's kind of what I'm trying to get at, is it's not always about just getting there and being miserable until you're there. That's a guy thing. So he does make the process simple, though, and that's what I love, because he's not interested in being difficult to hear. If you have difficulty hearing from God, it's because you're panicking and you're trying to make something more out of it than it really is. In the stillness, in the quiet, in the trusting, in the surrender, that's where he is. It's not in being spun up, trying, you know. I believe we've said this enough, but you can hear it again, and that is, if you find yourself trying to hear God and your face looks like this, scrunching up, right? You're trying too hard. It's not about trying. It's about receiving. This is pooping. All right. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So sometimes we can't always just get what he's trying to communicate all in one moment. And so he has to take us into this place of discovery, which might mean he has to break something off of us, like a mentality that's been holding us back. Maybe there's a lie that we've been believing, or maybe we've been trying to hold up in public, right? And he has to trash that, because he only walks in the light, not in darkness, right? And there's just pieces of our life that are out of sync, maybe just 3 degrees, right? I'm not talking about majorly out of sync with his heart. And he has to kind of take us all the way back to that again. If he just shared with us the end, like, wouldn't that stink? Like, if we heard the end today with the mentality we have today and no transformation, we would totally just blow up what he said and be in panic. Right? So he's really good that way. He knows exactly what we can handle, what we need to hear, and what we need to build upon before he just shares everything, right? Yeah, he's so good. How do you know God is speaking to you? Because, man, there's times where you might hear, can I say it that way, hear two competing voices in your heart, and now you're wondering, which one is it? Oh, my gosh. If I get this one wrong, what's going to happen? I'm off the rails. Can I ever get back on? You ever felt that way? Two of us. Oh, I feel for you. I totally get it. Totally. Yeah. So, you know, what do you do? Step one, go to Google. Step two, call 3 friends. Right? Step 4, beg. Step 5, give up. Repeat. No. I want to throw Philippians 4 on the screen for us, because this is the place for hearing his voice, okay? And many of us, we know this when it comes to worry or doubt, and that's great, and keep it for that. But this is also in context to hearing his voice. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about these things, that they're excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, and everything you heard me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you all, right? Actually, I said all. It didn't say it there. That's a different translation, right? You're like, how is that about hearing God's voice? Number one, if you introduce worry into the equation of trying to hear from him, more than likely, you're just going to miss it, because worry is the antithesis of who he is, right? Because God is love, perfect love casts out fear, and the moment you approach him with the fear card, he's like, you can't hear me, because you're approaching me, the God of no fear and only love, and you're just trying to hear me through a filter of fear. Why can't I hear you? He's like, I'm talking, take your filters off, right? Yes? So the first mechanism that he's given us is to pray and just like puke it out, get it out of the way, and then that doesn't mean, in Jesus' name, amen, I got somewhere to be. Like, okay, you just wasted his time. I'm saying it funny now. You just used up his time speaking to him and telling him all the stuff that's bothering you. Now sit, don't go anywhere, and let him get to return, right? So amen is not over and out. It's just, go ahead, over. Yes? It's so critical, guys. Don't just pour it all out on them and then walk out. That's like so counterproductive. You're like, but I feel better. Well, then it's all about you. Verse number seven says, then you will experience God's peace, okay? So how do I experience his peace? The mechanism of thankfulness is the first step into that, okay? Notice where it says pray about everything with thanks, with thanksgiving, some of your translations might say. It's so important because if without the thankfulness, we humans just naturally go into self-pity. I do. Some of you? Any self-pity people in here? Everybody? Okay, I mean, it's different degrees, right? But I mean, we naturally will take a situation that comes in and form it in a way that advances the self-pity of ourselves. Some of you are like, no, I'm a very positive person. Well, great, awesome. Thankfulness is like it takes the lens of self-pity and puts it aside, and it reframes reality into the context of how it really is, okay? Because you can't live in self-pity and be thankful. So you have to actually choose this day who you will serve. Right? So it's, you may, but one condition. Talking to the mic.
God has always showed me with this verse is what it says, and be thankful. When you start to thank him, it builds your trust. Yeah. When you start to thank him, your focus gets off of the problem. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you're going to answer this. Thank you, Lord, you're more than able. Thank you, Lord, nothing is impossible. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And as we thank him, the trust starts to come in. So you're petitioning, you're crying out to God, we want to be peaceful, but the thankfulness brings the peace because it's saying, I trust you're going to do it now. It's almost talking to yourself. Sometimes you're like, just yes. But then as you thank him, it switches and you start to praise him. And then the thankfulness brings the peace because it allows us to see and trust that he's going to do what we're asking him to do. Thankfulness brings the trust.
Amen. Very good. Very good. Without the thankfulness peace, you're just pouring out your panic. All right. Then it talks about how we follow the peace. These are my words, okay? His peace will guard your hearts and mind. And this is what's really, really critical that I want to get to. When you're hearing two competing voices or more in your heart, in your mind, and you're trying to figure out which one is God, I'm just so frustrated now. Follow the peace of God. That is a fruit of his spirit. It's proof of where he is and where he dwells. That's good, Daryl. Good, I'll keep going then. All right, so what you do is you hold those multiple concepts before him, and you're like, Holy Spirit, you know, these are option A, option B. I am going to do option A. And then just wait a second and feel for his peace, okay? This is nothing new agey and weird. This is wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where he comes in peace. You could even ask before you start, Holy Spirit, I'm just trying these two things on. I need you to come in peace and rest on the thing that you want to direct me into, right? Yes? And so option A. Now, if you don't feel peace on option A, okay, even if it's the one you rather do, right, go to option B. Holy Spirit, I'm going to go ahead and do option B, right, and then just sense it and see. And he'll rest his peace. And you may have to go back and forth a few times, okay, especially if you're all spun up. But then, you know, if you can't get an answer, then go back to the thankfulness piece to reframe because you're already all out of whack again. And you're just going to put yourself back in, right, into thankfulness. He will rest his peace because it's a promise. If you don't worry and pray about everything, then, conditional statement, then it will happen. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. Yeah, that's good preaching, huh? Nay, me too. Mm-hmm. God told Richie, there are no mistakes because I already knew you were going to make it. I would just, this is me now. I have no scripture here. This is me. Move when you have the peace of God. And the peace of God doesn't come to rest and just show you that it's okay to sit on your butt and do nothing. The peace of God is what advances us forward. okay? Because a lot of us, we look for peace because we just don't want to do anything. Amen. It's confirmation? Okay. Is that you? Yeah, you got it. Thank you.
Sorry.
It was you? Okay. No, it's okay. It's fun. So the peace of God is the confirmation to move forward in something. It's oftentimes we look for the peace of God as an excuse to sit on our butt and say, okay, now I just wait and I do nothing and it's going to be okay. That's denial. You hear me? A lot of us are looking for the peace of God to justify denial and doing nothing. And really, what he's calling us to do is advance, right? The kingdom of God is advancing, and the violent are taking it by force. You're just doing it in the peace of God, right? And so it's very critical that we follow the peace and let the peace of God direct us forward. Don't just, like, you know, there are days where you just be still and know I'm God, and that's okay. But if you find yourself in this cycle pattern that won't break, that's because you're using the peace of God as a reason not to change. I'm here to help you. I'm with the government, and I'm here to help. What's that? It's a convenient excuse. And a lot of times we do that, and there are days where the Lord will tell me, turn off the worship music. Because we can mistake the flow of the music with the actual peace of God, right? And sometimes the flow of the music is just nice. And so I feel better. He's like, not always about our feelings. He's about producing the fruit of peace in the chaos, right? And then moving us forward, advancing us. And so I'm just giving you a challenge. Like, if you have this thing you like to do and it's your scheduled thing, I get up and I do my Bible and I listen to 3 songs and then I do this and I do that. And I always have my coffee while, you know, Hillsong is playing or whatever. Great, but consider turning it off and let the Lord invade that moment and let it be Him. Right?
I noticed you didn't say, consider not having your coffee.
No, yeah, no, never. God made coffee. Then we go into verse number 8, and we fix our eyes on the things that are true and honorable, right? Pure, lovely, and admirable, right? And that is because the thing we focus on is the thing we will move toward. And you know, the men in the men's group, I believe, have their own version of this story, but when I was teaching my son, Nate, how to ride a bike, we were camping, I had him on the bike in this giant open field. I mean, it was completely clear, only one tree. You can go anywhere he wants in this field. It's just one thing, right? And so you could see it working in his mind. This mantra was going, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree. He's trucking truck, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree, don't hit the tree. And he hits the one tree in the middle of the field that, you know, like, really, right? He hits the one tree. But it was such an eye-opening. The thing you focus on is the thing that you will hit, right? And so he's talking about let the peace of God direct you into your next phase here. And at the same time, focus on the good, the true, the pure, the admirable, right? Because the minute we start throwing things in there that aren't true, we start justifying or we start trying to hide things or we start trying to, you know, focus on things that aren't of Him, that aren't right, that aren't pure, we bend the direction a little bit. You know what I mean? Take the average of the purity of God and mix it with the lie that we're living, and you average those together, and instead of being here, we're here. Right? I hope that makes sense. So God is just giving us the key. Keep moving forward in purity and just cry out for that, because He wants that for you more than you want that for you. And so don't give up. Don't be discouraged if you feel like you're not hitting that target. Don't give up and say, this is just who I am. No, you are not. You're a new creature in Christ. Turn it over and just take up a new solid grip and go, right? Um, And then, you know, verse number 9, where he finishes off saying, keep putting into practice all you learned from me and everything you saw, everything you heard, right? Keep doing that. Because by practicing obedience to God's heart and his mission, his commands, that ensures that the peace remains with us. Do you notice how that last sentence says, then the God of peace will be with you, right? You notice how we kind of mentioned today during the worship time that there's a manifest and an omnipresence of God. Omnipresence means he's always there and he never leaves. You can't get away from him. Then the manifest presence of God is when he opens up a moment and just like steps in and you just sense, boom, Daddy Papa God is here, right?
Mm-hmm. And so that happens sometimes to me when there's so much that I don't understand, but when
you're in a TV land.
I'm praying, it's not really important, but so when I'm on my knees and praying, there's so many things I don't understand, but when that peace comes over me, I understand that.
Yes.
So that's what makes, when it exceeds anything we don't understand. But and that's the only time I ever know it's his peace is when I'm like, okay, I get this, but I don't get what's going on, but I just rely on him.
Follow the peace. Amen. No, that's actually makes a lot of sense. You know, in your carnal mind, you'd be like, you should be panicking. What is wrong with you? But if you know the reputation of the one you serve, why wouldn't you just choose peace? Amen. So that word, you know, the last sentence, the God of peace will be with you. That word with is meta in the Greek. That's a word we have like in HTML code, meta tags, things like that, right? But it actually translates to accompany, to occupy the position beside, to participate with someone, right? It's more than just to be with. It's to engage in, right? To be present with, to accompany, right? And that's what we're looking for. So by practicing obedience to God's heart for us, his mission that he's given us, it's really for our good. That's what he partners along with us in, right? Yeah? All right. We dads, we can take up two positions with our children, and those positions are based on our children's attitude, right? Position number one, our kid is sort of wants nothing to do with us, and they want nothing to do with what we've asked them to do. And so therefore, we have to take the corrective place where we're teaching them how to have successful skills in life, and we direct them to do the thing they don't want to do. And we are no longer, right, we're with them, right? But we're not with them. We're kind of like behind them, kicking them, right? In the butt. Number two, when the attitude is good and they just want to do what dad's doing and dad is busy doing something and they're like, can I do that with you? Now they're actually participating along with us and we're not necessarily just kicking them in the direction, trying to motivate and come on, life skills, I'm going to, right? They're actually learning by participating and they're with us. And that's what I see here, the difference is in obedience to what the Lord is saying in our life is it's partnering with him and that's where his peace and all the tools come into play, right? Otherwise, it's, come on, son, come on, get up. Okay, you guys are like, is that what you people do in Florida? All right. No, never kicked my son. You guys thought about it? You wanted to kick my son? Oh. Yes, Pete.
Kind of depends sometimes on how you look at things, but there is that passage in Proverbs, train a child up in the way he should go, and later on, he will not depart for it. 40 years ago, I went to a sort of a weekend thing but with a man when I was in Southern California, and he popped this out. Where's the emphasis? You train the child in the way he should go, so you're going to make up your mind what the agenda is for him? Or are you going to train the child up in the way he should go, which means you need to watch what his skills and aptitudes are and strengthen them.
Amen. Amen. That's a really good transition into where we're actually going next. So you must have, you know, been listening to the same Holy Spirit. What's that? Oh. Yes, that's funny. So this is where, really, seriously, where we want to go next is Acts 20. Now, Paul is in Ephesus, and he's saying goodbye to the Ephesian church that he's planted. They have had quite a time together, amazing healings, built this amazing church right in the middle of this horrible idolatrous culture, and they carved this church out of, violent. It was an amazing thing. And the Holy Spirit tells Paul that he has to leave Ephesus. He has to go back to Jerusalem, and that there would be great suffering for him there. That's all Paul knows at this point, okay? In his personal time. How do you like that? Good morning. Drink up. Eat your eggs. Head to Jerusalem. There's going to be suffering. Just, I'll give you the rest, right? So, in Acts 20, verse 20, Paul is speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus as he's saying his goodbye, and he says, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or in your homes. I've had one message for Jews and Greeks, that's non-Jews alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I'm bound by the Spirit. You catch that? Bound. I know in my knower I have to go to Jerusalem. Don't know what awaits me. I don't fully understand it, but I just know it inside, except that the Holy Spirit tells me that in city after city, jail and suffering lie ahead. So he's given him confirmation. Given him confirmation, and God is good, you know, when he confirms his word, and he does, right? In any relationship, if you think you've misheard, you're like, hey, can you repeat that? I want to make sure I've gotten it, right? The Lord confirms he's good. He's a good God. Holy Spirit is talking. He knows that suffering lies ahead. We hate that. We wish we could quote five prosperity scriptures and tell the devil to be quiet. But it's the Holy Spirit in this case. Right? That's because, you know, for some of us, if we grew up listening to, you know, certain preachers, we expect everything to be prosperous and good at all times. And no, that's God is good all the time. Sometimes life sucks, right? And we were called to take up our cross and enter fully into the suffering as well. And now this is not like a, hey, everybody, bad news. You were made to suffer. That's not our lot in life. For all you Star Wars fans, right? But there are times where he will walk us into a moment of suffering. And on the other side, you know, you don't have to stay there, but on the other side of that will be blessing, or there will be some kind of growth or, right, pruning that takes place in that moment. Right? Okay. That does not mean that every piece of suffering that you're dealing with is God bringing you through. Sometimes we suffer because we were stupid and the consequences are now upon us. You know what I mean? Right. So you can't blame everything on God. But there are times where, man, everything is great, and he's like, I need you to go here, and it's going to stink. But I know you're called. You're empowered. This is where your purpose. Right? So the next day, this is in, a couple verses later, in Acts 21, 2. Luke is talking about what they did and where they went, and they went past Cyprus, and now they're in Syria, and they stopped to unload the cargo. And verse number 4, we went ashore, found the local believers in that area. We stayed with them for a week. These believers prophesied through the Holy Spirit that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. Did you catch that? Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun. The Holy Spirit is schizophrenic. He's been telling Paul, go to Jerusalem, and he's telling these people, don't. What do I do? Yeah. All right. Let's keep reading a couple of verses after that. Verse number 8, the next day we went on to Caesarea. We stayed in the home of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven men who'd been chosen to distribute food. He was one of the seven guys in Acts 6 who, along with Stephen, were called to solve the food problem. He was one of the first deacons that we would refer to in the church when we're looking for how do deacons deek. Verse number 9 says he had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. And several days later, a man named Agabus, do you remember Agabus from last week? He's the guy that stood up and said, there's a famine coming. And we must prepare. So Agabus is back. So, you know, when Agabus speaks, everybody listens. And he had the gift of prophecy, arrived in Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt, bound it, bound his own hands and feet with it, and said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, turned over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, this is Luke and all his buddies, and all the local believers all begged Paul not to go on to Jerusalem. So if you notice, Agabus, who is a pretty established prophetic person, he didn't say, "Don't go." He just tied up his wrists with the belt in a very dramatic showing and said, "Hey, you're going to be caught by the authorities there." Which added just a little bit more clarity to the whole "you're going to suffer" piece that Paul already knew. You get me? I hope I'm painting a nice little picture and sparing you all the unnecessary details. Meanwhile, the people, the believers who love Paul are begging, right? Begging, "Don't go." Yeah? So here's what I really want to get to. There's a piece where we hear God and he gives us direction and he puts something in our heart. And then there's a piece where we add the us sandwich on top of it, which is what we think is meaningful, and here's what we prescribe based upon the information that he's given us. And that's where we kind of get into trouble, where God said this, and I believe, blah, 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 blah. Put all that back. Don't let that out, right? The purity of hearing from the Holy Spirit is sometimes just letting it be what it is. So where Agabus up here understood that, he's like, "God, I don't want to tie this guy's belt around his hands and make a stupid fool of myself. As I dramatically do that, say, voila, you're going to be captured in Jerusalem." And then what? I don't know. He didn't say anything else. Huh? It said a lot for Paul, because Paul had already been hearing in his heart, "Go, you're going to be caught. You're going to be, right, or you're going to be tortured or suffered. You're going to be suffered." Right? And he needed confirmation, and that confirmed. But Agabus didn't taint the prophetic delivery of those words by trying to add, "Therefore, you must avoid Jerusalem." He wouldn't be a really good prophet if he put the personal junk in, right? And that, I believe, and this is the dichotomy, and why I want, like Paul was even like, "I wish that all of you prophesied." At the same time, I was like, "I wish that all of you knew the difference between what's your own emotion and what's truly coming from God's heart, and know how to so purely and simply basically articulate only what you've heard and then just leave it there." Right? And don't add the rest. Some of you are going to be praying, "Oh God, show me how to leave myself out of it." But yeah, this is it. This is learning how to put the boundary between what is us and what is him in our life. Anybody ever received a what you would say was a bad prophetic word? What do you mean by bad, Daryl? I would say one that had some portion of correctness to it, and then some part of it was like, totally wrong. Why is it wrong? I had a prophetic guy tell me I was going to have a girl. Oh, yeah, I argued with him. Okay. I was like, "No, her's a boy and his name is Nate." I already know, because the Lord already told me, right? And I'm not cocky. I'm just, he told me, he woke me up out of dead sleep and said, "This boy is a boy and he's a blessing and his name is Nate," right? And then this prophetic guy hits me the next couple days. He's like, "The Lord told me you're having a girl." I'm like, "No." Right? He was nice enough to apologize later because he's a friend, but you get the point, right? Like sometimes believers will sense something. You're going to have a baby. And then throw in this extra piece. "And I have a girl, because I think you need a girl." You know what I'm getting at? And Lord God, how do you make us pure by your Spirit so that we're not introducing us into the equation, right? Which means if you need less of you in the picture, that means you need less of you in your life. Which is why we're always talking about less of us and more of him in our life. Which is why we're always talking about walking in the light and letting the darkness go and just releasing it, surrendering it, not trying to maintain control, not trying to, right? Just let him have 100% lordship of your life, because when there's less of us in the way, there's less of us when it comes time for him to move through us. Pure is pure. You're so quiet. That means, like, gotcha. Gotcha. And what do you do? What is my response to this person who just told me not to go when the Holy Spirit told me to go? Well, I nail him. I nail him. I make him feel ashamed because how dare you, right? Because that's scriptural. You know 1 Corinthians 13, right? Did somebody read that at your wedding? Love is patient. Love is kind, right? Okay. Can I read to you a piece of 1 Corinthians 13? It's verse number 9. It says this, "Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture." Right? And it's part of. I bet you they didn't read that at your wedding. But it's part of the love sandwich that's in 1 Corinthians 13. It's clustered among all of the, hey, walk in love, people. Show patience, show kindness, show goodness. Understand, people are trying their best here. They're scared. They don't want to just come out and make an idiot of themselves when they feel led of the Holy Spirit to speak, right? Agabus was probably like, I don't want to take his belt. I'm afraid if his pants might fall, right? I don't want to take his belt off. I don't want to tie him up and make an idiot of myself and then not have anything else to say. God, no, anything but that, right? Just do it, right? So we have to understand, people are arguing within themselves. Have you ever argued inside yourself? You knew you had something. Okay, so we need to give people the same grace that we would want to be given to us in those moments where it's like, I really feel like I'm supposed to do this, but man, I almost feel like throwing up right now. Right? Grace and love is patient, love is kind, and it focuses on what is true, right? It doesn't seek its own. Basically, I'm giving us permission not to be wacko and weird, right? Because if you do something wrong, we'll probably have to call that out, but that's for informational purposes, not to just be like, we're the right ones, you're wrong, and you should never do that again. Right? It's to be like, hey, did you catch that? Did you catch that you were listening to the right voice for about 70% and then the 30% you're listening to the wrong point, right? There's probably some issues here that we kind of need want to talk through and get to, and we want to do it in grace and love and mercy and kindness, and man, I hope you try again. I hope you get back on that horse and don't ever let it kick you and scare you from riding horses ever again. Right? You're like, but I don't want a weird church. I'm not telling you let's have a weird church. Please hear me. Do you think I want, like, yes, I'm going to move to New Hampshire and I'm going to start a weird church? That would be the apex of my existence. Right? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say that there are times where the Lord puts it on our heart to move and to speak and to demonstrate his heart prophetically to other people. If you are asking to hear his voice, he's going to put you in that place, because once people know that you know God's voice, they're going to respect and listen. Amen. Right? Amen. And so I'm trying to open up this dialogue, if you will, of the tension that exists between hearing him and then sometimes inserting ourselves and foot in the mouth, right? And being open to still walking in faith even when we may have made a mistake. And you know what's so important? Nothing will ever earn more respect from other people than for you to say, you know what? I misheard. I made a mistake. Don't try to water it down and, well, God changed his mind. God... You know what I mean? Like, I've seen people do that stuff, and they try to, like, maneuver and manipulate what was wrong. I didn't really say it was a girl. I said it was a boy, and I coughed, and, you know, and you heard girl, and, you know what I mean? Like, people do this stuff, and it's like, all right, just own it. Just be like, yeah, I made a total mistake, and I'm going to just, you know, will you pray for me that I hear better, and next time I do better, right? So just humility is the way to go in this thing. You with me? We all like humility, right? It's critical that we press into him for confirmation. You know, in Paul's story, he had lots of people telling him not to go, but he had enough confirmation to know he was hearing God's voice, right? And he knew he was supposed to go, even though he didn't like necessarily what he's walking into. Yes? It's critical that believers who disagree find the grace to accept when it is clear that one persuasion will not convince the other. And that we're still called to walk in the rest of 1 Corinthians 13 in love. That's what families do, right? That's not what churches do. Churches split. Start another persuasion. But we're more of a family, right? I hope so. I hope we've had our fill of splits. And we would love to just be like, you know. There you go, Donna. You're a positive thinker, right? I'm trying to find a way to where we say, you know what? I don't always love when this person shares, but that doesn't mean I have to leave because I can't stand it, or I hope that they leave because I can't stand it. Or, right? We could just find a place of love for each other. And I'm almost done. I think he is too. So we must not only accept that each of us are free to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit individually, we have to celebrate and encourage it. And that's kind of what Pete was talking about, the way he should go versus the way he should go. It's we understand, like, when we sense the Holy Spirit is doing something, well, if someone else isn't subscribing to it in the moment, that doesn't mean they're wrong, we're right. It doesn't mean that they should get on the same page. It's like, hey, let's just celebrate the fact that the Holy Spirit's doing something different in them that's different from me. And it's okay, because the Lord is the greatest ringmaster that I have ever seen. And while over here, elephants are standing on top of each other and balancing a ball, over here, acrobats are flipping. Over here is a tightrope. Over here is a bearded lady. And each one is experiencing the circus in their own way. And it's okay. It's actually weird, but it's beautiful. You know what I'm getting at? The Lord is the ringmaster. And we're like, huh? Well, we're like, you know, I just think all of us elephants should be standing on top of each other and building elephant pyramids. And he's like, no, no. Again, don't be weird, but golly, right? We don't have to throw out, well, all the bearded ladies have to go because they don't look like elephants. Right? It's his circus. It's his family. Right? Some of you are like, okay, I got to go check out another church. Yes. So we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, and then I'm going to crash this plane. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way and split when it doesn't get it. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. There will be a day, right, in heaven where we're like, hey, thus saith the Lord. You're like, dude, I'm already here. I'm good. I'm good. I don't need it anymore. I'm good. Thank you. But love is going to last forever. You know what I mean? Amen. Amen. So things to be praying about today, besides your mother, that we would just cry out for the church so that love would drive us and encourage each other toward the greatness that he has in store for us, each of us individually, as we're working together, but yet with separate abilities and gifts, and right? That we would turn over our loved ones to him. And this is something that, you know, I didn't really cover in the dialogue here, but I know you'll make the connection real quick, and that is this. When you feel God is saying something and that person and your loved one is not embracing or receiving that thing, and oftentimes it's salvation, or it could be living correctly, rightly, living in the way you've taught them, and you just want it so badly for them because you know the benefit and the freedom on the other side, right? And they're just not receiving it. And you just have to release them. Like, you can't control them, so you just might as well stop trying, right? And just entrust them to the one who loves them more than you ever could. That's part of that in the way he should go thing. Yes? And then the third one, and for some of you, that just dwell on number two if you have to, okay? For some of you. But number three, Holy Spirit, come in peace and teach me how to follow your peace. And that's that first thing we talked about, is like, if you don't know how to move in the peace of God, that's you're back in kindergarten until you can get that right, okay? Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. It'll kill you. Without the peace of God and following the peace of God, you're going to shipwreck yourself. Hear me? So could we do like we do, and that is, could we all pray together and, you know, just keep it short and simple. But I just feel like there's a response that needs to happen in the room today where we turn some things over. And if it's you, and maybe it's not for everybody to hear, just say, hey, I turn that thing over to you. I release it to you, Lord. And, you know, but God, I thank you for your voice that is in our lives. That, Lord, you didn't leave us just on our own. And I thank you that you're so personable. And, Lord, you're caring, and you're direct, and you're true in all that you say. Lord, that everything you say comes from the platform of love, not guilt, not harshness. God, you're wise. You're instructing. You're funny. Lord, you're just this perfect Father wrapped up in our life in a special way, and you've put the Holy Spirit in us to hear everything that he receives from Jesus to guide us. And so, God, as we sit in this place of knowing this, we just open ourselves up to hearing more of your voice in our life, but God, understanding that that might also mean walking in love for people that we cannot agree with. God, they just see life differently. Maybe they're hearing something else or seeing scripture from a different viewpoint. And Lord, that we could still walk in love and still remain in relationship and family to the degree that that's possible, Father. Lord, for some of us, we know the right direction, or at least we think we do, and we're trying to direct other people, and they're just not taking the bait and going that way. Lord, give us patience and the ability to release them into your hand and pray blessings upon them and watch you, Father, overtake their path and lead them in the way everlasting, God. Yeah, there's a special grace for people who are hurting over loved ones today to take heart, to let go, stop holding that person as an idol in your life. Let them go, release them in the love of God. Special grace. If you say, Holy Spirit, I give that person to you, he's here, he's listening, he said, I'm with them. And that, Lord, you would teach us to advance in peace and not react out of panic, fear, anger, or any other emotion, God, but that our emotions would surrender themselves to the path of your peace, God. Thank you, King. Thank you, Father. I want to just open it up to anybody else who just feels like sharing. I mean, it's a holy moment, so just move in the Spirit and let him guide your prayer.
I'm just feeling in my heart right now that some people need to go through this prayer. So if you can just repeat after me in your own head. Sin, Father, I put the cross of Jesus Christ between me and that person that has been led and put on your heart right now, that you're carrying a burden for right now or a conflict with. Say, I put the cross of Jesus Christ between me and that person. And Lord, I send back all of their sins, their warfare, their struggles, their difficulties back to you, for you to work in their life. Ask Jesus to work in their lives. And for none of it to transfer to you. Ask the Lord to only have the love of God, the bond of the Holy Spirit, and the cross between you and that person. Because that was the crossroad at the cross. His blood was shed for the cleansing. Receive it. Apply it in your heart, in your body, in your mind, soul, and your life. Let him take that on. and ask blessings upon that person. Thank you, Father.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and we allow nothing but the love of God and the bond of the Holy Spirit between us and that person. In Jesus' name. Who else has?
Father God, I ask that you would just be with us and we'd turn over our loved ones, our spouses, and our children over to you and the perfect plan you have designed for them, the identity that they have in you, in your son Jesus. I ask that you would just help us to release that control that we desperately try to maintain over them, and we give it up to you, God. We trust you. We know that your plan is perfect, and there's nothing that we can do that would be greater than you. God, you are the ultimate creator. God, watch over our families. God, bless them. Be a light unto that path. And when they stray, God, we ask that we would come to them in love and help redirect them and encourage them, God. Come back to you. God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Father God, I just want to pray for our church body as we work to just listen to your voice. I pray, Lord, that manifestation of your Spirit just pour out of us in ways as unique as the hairs on our head. We know that with the Spirit of the Lord, there is peace. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom, Lord. Let us find that freedom, whatever that might look like, Lord. And we ask for just you to be in it. You to be in it. Not our feelings, not our emotions, not a display, not an agenda, Lord, but just you, pure, beautiful, sovereign you. Lord, teach us, teach our body, teach this body to listen. Teach this body to listen, Lord. In Jesus' name.
So I was sitting back here with my friend Karen, and, you know, choosing gratitude and choosing love, and it all sounds so nice and so easy, right? But you might have already hit that tree in the field, right? We're all talking about focusing. Like, you might have already bit it and wiped out, right? So, you know, our superstar of the week, Maddie, shared this on Monday. It might be really hard for you to choose gratefulness and thankfulness if you're already in the ditch, right? But what you do get to say is, you will not take this day away from me. It's hard, right? But it's not as hard as just sitting in the ditch. So you get to choose your hard. Because it's a hard day for a lot of people, right? So you can look at that thing and say, you do not get to take this day away from me. And you know, when Peter shared, raise him up in the way he should go, go. Just go. That is what the emphasis in that phrase for me. Just go. Everything that we learned about today is just moving forward. You can get hung up in the weeds, but you get to pick your heart. Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Awesome. Well, I hope we have a wonderful Mother's Day. I plan on it. Follow your peace to Pizza Hut. or wherever you have reservations. And I know it's geeky. And don't forget to pick up your kids. That's why you're a mom. All right? We love you guys. We'll see you later. Have a great week.